It's a good question. What would you do if Jesus came right now? Would you be ready? If he came to your house, would you have something in there that you wouldn't want Jesus to see? Got news for you. He sees it anyway. Before I start, I'd like to have anyone that has served in our military, if you might stand, we'd like to recognize you. Anyone that's served in the military. Amen. Thank you. It's for you and your comrades that we celebrate tomorrow, Memorial Day. It was set aside as a day of respect and tribute. And this morning I can say I respect each one of you that have served and defended our freedom. So we appreciate you very much. As we gather, it's a time, I think, this morning here that we might be thankful for the country that we live in. You know, it should be every day. Because every day we got a military that's watching out over us, watching, trying to intercept those things that are flying around the world in cyberspace. But it should be a day that we can celebrate peace, too. That peace of knowing that God gave us the freedoms that we have. He gave us the country that we have. It was founded upon His principles. I think it's a willingness to, when we talk about patriotism, is what I wanted to say. Patriotism shows a humbleness, an inner feeling, I think, of kinship for all of those things that we have and God has given us in this country. It also shows a courage. As I looked at each one of you as you stood, it represented a courage to stand up into arm's way and take whatever it took to defend our country. And we are thankful. We are thankful for those that gave their lives, certainly. But I'm thankful for those that have struggled through the woundings, as I see the Wounded Warrior projects on television and so forth, how so many were maimed, were hurt, that still live with it today. When I think about patriots, you know, I think a real patriot sees that flag. They see that flag as something that stands for freedom. They see that flag that stands for a country that is free, that was founded upon godly principles. If you're not a patriot, you probably just see a piece of colored cloth. But whenever this morning as I drove to church and I was driving down Bayberry Avenue and the street was lined with flags on both sides, it put a lump in my throat. To know what God had put together and what man is trying to tear apart. I think real patriots speak they know what the meaning of freedom really is. The shame is that today there's so many that they might talk about freedoms, but they don't really know what that freedom is and how much blood was shed to maintain that freedom. It's my hope. It's my hope, and I hope it's yours, that we can look to the future with the same optimism as our parents and our grandparents did, wanting to make a place that was better than what they inherited, but at least maintaining what was fought for by our forefathers. And many of them went to their grave because of it. The hurt. The hurt that those old patriots felt is the same kind of hurts that you and I feel today. But they kept on keeping on, fighting for the freedoms and looking to the strength of the Lord. And that's what's missing today. You and I as Christians have something that we need to share with this country every time we have an opportunity. When I say country, wherever you are, we have something to share. As I think about the military people, I think about people that was duty-minded. Whatever the duty was that you were called upon to bring forth and to do, you did it. You served with a dedication that I can even see in our forefathers, the dedication to a principle. And that principle was freedom. That principle was defending our country, defending the freedoms that we enjoy, including being here this today, being able to worship the God that we worship. Every man and woman that served in the military, they were duty-minded. I've said that again for this reason. There's someone I want to talk to you today about. There was a very duty-minded man, the greatest and most victorious, and I'm going to give him a new title. Not that he deserves it, but he's way above it. But he's a 7-star general that led the world captivity captive. He freed him. He freed man from sin and discourage. And he was a man that had a conquest duty, who gave his life in the fiery test, in the bloodiest battle of all the world and all you mean. The bloodiest battle. He shared his vision after he gave his life, the ultimate sacrifice. Before he gave his life, he shared his vision with 12 other generals that were underneath him. Those were hand-picked generals. And they did something that you and I need to do today. They grasped the vision of their 7-star general, and they were willing to go out and to do whatever was necessary to perform the task, that vision that the 7-star general had. In the end, we know the 7-star general, which I'm referring to, is Jesus Christ. He laid down, he gave the ultimate sacrifice, laying down his life in the greatest war of all time, if you can bear with me. Duty-minded man willingly gave his life for his generals, and let me tell you, for all of his army. If you haven't understood today that you are in the army of God, if you are a Christian, you are in the army of God, and you and I have got a battle to fight every day. And unless we take that battle duty-minded, just as serious as what the 7-star general intended it to be, of reaching the world that's dying and headed to an eternal hell without salvation, something that he prepared for them, a duty-minded man willingly gave his life and all those to serving him and making him commander-in-chief, if I can say that. And let me put it to you in a Lord of life, that we might enjoy the victory in life and also enjoy life everlasting and be saved from that tortured place that was prepared for the devil and his angels. Saved from the several 7-star general died that we might enjoy that beautiful place called heaven. And I don't know about you today, but I can sing a joy, and I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that my God cared enough for me and he cared enough for you that he made the provision that you and I could enjoy that place called heaven and escape that place called hell. I want you to know something. Your 7-star general is alive and well today, and he still wants to command his army if we will allow him. We are truly the army of God. We are truly the ones that have to carry on the vision that he had, that all men would be set free, free from sin and guilt, and not have to carry those feelings around that would pull us down and destroy us. And may I say this, that this army that you and I are in, We are still, because we are under the seven-star general and he provides for us, we are still the strongest army in the world and over any enemy that comes at us. Mark that down. Because I want to share with you, I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 6. I want you to read how the seven-star general has equipped you with the whole armor of God. He says, finally, my brethren, he's talking to Christians. He's talking about the army of God. And he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. He says, therefore, let's stop a minute. It's a shame today that we still have churches that want to fight within. They still want to argue and bicker and fight within whenever God's word says here, our fight is not against flesh and blood, but it's against those spiritual places. The devil and his demons wanting to destroy us and pull us down and hinder us from really serving in the greatest army of all time. The army of God. But he provides the tools. He makes the provisions. He grants the provisions. Listen to this. He says, therefore, and he makes the transition. He says, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand the evil day, having done all to stand. He says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench, you will be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. If you don't know who the wicked one is, it's the devil coming at us and his angels. He says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. He says, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. As Paul was writing this, the Apostle Paul, when he was in prison, he wrote this letter to the Ephesians. You and I don't have any chains on. We have no hindrances. We have a duty to follow and to use the provisions that the Almighty God, through Jesus Christ, gave us. First, he talked about the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. Salvation is your protection, my friends. Regardless of what comes at you, you are protected by your salvation. Whether, even if you gave your life here, that's okay. You're with him. Whether you die here, you're with him. Regardless of what happens, one day, as a Christian, you have the salvation. And you will be with the Almighty God in that place called heaven, and that's your guarantee. If you stay related to him. He talks about the sword, and you and I hope, know that the sword is the Word of God. And the Word of God certainly is the weapon that can be used for close-in battles whenever you need to talk with someone, when you need to share something, whenever you need to lift up someone, whenever you share something with someone that how they can become saved. It's the sword of the Spirit that will change minds. It will change the minds of the enemy. It will eradicate the enemy if we will use the Word of God, but don't ever try to do it on your own power. It takes the Word of God, and in Jesus Christ only, that we can eradicate, and it penetrates the heart of the enemy to change their minds, because that's the power of His Word. When we use the Word of God, we are told in His Word that His Word will not return to Him void. When we use His Word, we can depend upon it having the necessary and fulfilling what's necessary to glorify our God, which is most important for you and I to do. It penetrates. The other amazing thing that the sword is that it will enlighten. It will enlighten you as to where the enemy is and what his tactics are. You know, pretty much what he does is pretty plain in Scripture, and whenever you understand what he does in Scripture, that's the way he's going to operate on a daily basis and coming at you. Thing is, we got to guard against it. And if we are in the Spirit and reading the Word, letting him enlighten us, we will be warned. That's what the Holy Spirit, that's why the Holy Spirit is on board, is to warn you. Turn on those caution lights and those red lights and say, whoa, stop, don't go there. And then we have the shield. The shield of faith is, I believe, and I do believe that the commander-in-chief and what he says, and there's no doubting by faith, there's absolutely no weapons of the enemy that can take me on or destroy me. It might take me on, but it can't destroy me. I have the faith of knowing that I am safe and secure in the arms of our Almighty God through the salvation experience. And because I can depend upon His righteousness and what He said to me, I can depend upon it. I know it's true. The commander-in-chief had a vision for his army, and he made provisions. All we need to do is to follow those provisions in His Word. Take up those weapons that He gives us and to use them and apply them. That'll stop a lot of drama going on in lives. That'll stop a lot of heartache that's going on in lives. Oh, not that there still won't be trials and tribulations, but those trials and tribulations you get victory over because of your faith, because of knowing who you are in Christ and you believe Him. And you'll take Him and you'll wrap your arms around Him and He will wrap His around you and protect you. You know something else? Even if we're wounded, and sometimes we get wounded, As being in the army, sometimes we get wounded, but you know what? We have an Almighty God that is with us. He's with us all the time, and He will never leave us. He'll never forsake us, and He will heal you, my friends, whether it be spiritual, emotional, or physical. And you know what? If He doesn't, praise God, I know something else. He'll give me a new body, and I'll be with Him in that place called heaven. That can't be bad, can it? That can't be bad. I can tell you something else. Even though all of that sounds amazing, I can tell you something else. I've been enlisted in His army now for several years, and I love it. I get to serve with a great group of soldiers, and I love my fellow soldiers, and I want to fight the battle with my fellow soldiers. And the best way that I can do it, and while I'm at my desk, is to be praying, praying, praying. And may I say the same thing happens when I'm driving down the road. I'm praying, praying, praying. The Lord tells us to be praying ever ceasingly, and I'm going to read that scripture here in a moment. You know, I don't know if it gets any better than what we have available to us. Because I'm going to tell you, you serve Him here, you use His provisions, but then I'm going to tell you something else. The retirement system's out of this world, folks. Think about that one. You don't have to worry about retirement system. You don't have to worry about health care. His retirement system, He'll have a new body that'll be glorified, will be perfect in every way, and it will be that way for all eternity. That's what our 7-star general done for us. It's really amazing. But I want to share something with you. This becomes very, very important for you. And if you're asleep, you can wake up and get a hold of this one. Because if we choose not to serve Him in the army of God, I'm going to tell you there's no leaves and there's no AWOLs. His invitations are continuous. They're open to all who enlist. But bear with me here. The psalmist said in Psalm 116:13, he says, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. He says, take a fast hold of the instruction. He says, let her not go. Hold on to that instruction that the Lord gives you and make application of it. You know, salvation is ours, and we must hold on to the instructions. These are the instructions. This is the roadmap for life. And if you and I will hold on to it, let's remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is the 7-star general, and a 7-star general has to keep his army in place. Think about that. Consequently, I want to read to you from 1 Thessalonians chapter 12 first. If we choose not, let's say that you and I this morning, you say, well, I'm in the army of God and I love it and it's all great and I know the provisions. You've told me that. I know the system. I know what God wants me to do. I know He wants to use me. And you've said no AWOLs, no leaves. We're in His army. We serve Him. Let's say what happens. Let's just find out now what happens if we choose. And I said choose, and you have a free choice. You have a choice to choose not to stay in service to Him. You have that choice. But let me read to you what He says in Hebrews chapter 12. There will be a discipline of God. There'll be a discipline from the 7-star general. Now, you can say, well, I don't think He's going to discipline me. I'm not saying it. The Word of God's saying it. I'm going to start reading in verse 3 of chapter 12 of Hebrews. For consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not been resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. Listen, please. If you are a child of God, He's referring to you as His son this morning, and you are if you're His. But listen to what He says. He says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and He scourges every son whom He receives. If you endure chastening, then God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom the Father does not chastise? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. He says, furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us and paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be subjection to the Father of spirits and live? Sometimes we wonder why the chastising comes. Sometimes we wonder why, we ask the question a lot of times, why is God allowing this to happen to me? You know what you need to do when that happens is you turn that around and make another question. What am I doing that's not pleasing God? What is it that I need to change in my life to please God? You need to turn that around whenever there's chastening, is not cry out to God, God, why are you doing this to me? But ask the question, God, what is it that I need to change? Because the chastening comes because He loves you. It comes because He loves you so much and He wants to have you in the fold, accomplishing what you're to do in the army of God. Some time ago, I had a brother in Christ come to me and probably hadn't been in church over a dozen times or so, and he come to me and he says, you know, church is just great. He says, boy, if we'd all just do a little in the church, how much greater it would be. Now, that was a brother that hadn't been in church very long, but he had the true revelation of how you and I have got to keep our service intact. The Lord's revelation to us, you're in His army. Each has a duty. I can refer that to 1 Corinthians, and you can go read in chapter 11, that we all have talents. And all of those talents that He gives each one of us are to be used to glorify Him. We come together in a place called church because He wants those talents to come together and be used in unison so they fit together and they make a big fist. that makes the army stronger because we use all of the talents together. How true it is. You know, whenever someone comes to me and they say, well, you know, this happened to me and this happened to me and no one called me and no one sent me a card. You know, I'd like to turn that around and say, do you understand the parable of the sower? That you reap what you sow, more of it, in a different season. Because we each have a responsibility to send a card, to make a telephone call. It's not reserved for the preacher in tact. It's not reserved for the deacons only. It's reserved for us as a group of people to lift up one another. We are in the army of God. And one comrade is supposed to support the other and watch out for the other. Whenever there's something Satan is coming at one, we need to see that. If we see that in our discerning spirit, then we need to help the other one avoid it and come together. We all need to understand what Romans 12:2 tells us. Be not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind can happen here on Sunday nights whenever you look at what the mind of Christ is. The mind of Christ, that's what we're to be. Have the mind of Christ. And I want to share, as I begin to close here, I want to share one more scripture with you. This, what is it that we're supposed to be doing? As Christians, as Christian soldiers, what is it? And this particular scripture, I claim it as one that's so summarized in direction as to what we should be as Christians. I'm going to read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So as I get there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I want to begin reading in verse 14. And here I'll tell you, Paul really, really gets specific with the church that he wrote this letter to, the church at Thessalonica. I'm going to begin to read here in verse 12. I'm sorry. Go to 14. He says, now we exhort you, brethren. He's talking to us, the army of God, to brothers. He says, warn those who are unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted. If someone's downtrodden, we should be comforting them. If someone is going in the wrong direction, we need to help them correct themselves in love. Not in judgmental, but in love. Help them accomplish, to conquer what's coming at them. That ought to make sense. He says, comfort the faint-hearted. He says, uphold the weak. You know, when someone is down and they're downtrodden, and we all get there because we're in the flesh, but that's the time that we comfort those ones that are going through difficult times, and they've been weakened, and the adversary has got them down a little bit. It's a time to strengthen them. And he says, be patient with all. In other words, I'm not going to come down with the hammer. That's not the kind of God we have either. He's going to chastise us and move us back into where we need to be. But here we're to be patient with all. Patient. Have patience. You know, we all don't grow at the same rate. We all don't mature at the same rate. We mature at our own level as God would have us. Consequently, we've got to be patient, he says, with all. And then he says, rejoice always. Whatever God brings at us, we need to rejoice and just have a joy in our heart. And that's where there ought to be a smile on your face most of the time, is being able to rejoice in what the Lord has done. He says in verse 17, pray without ceasing. You know, a lot of people say, well, how in the world can I do that? You know what? My attitude is in prayer, that I'm praying, even though I don't know what's going on. But if Keith Smith's name's put on me, I got to be praying for him. If God's telling me something's going on, pray for him. I don't need to know what's going on, but I need to be praying. Praying when something else is going on and God put something in my mind, I need to be praying. Have an attitude of prayer. Can I get more specific with that? I don't have to be mumbling words. God knows my mind. I can be praying silently and ever ceasingly whenever it's that time. He says, in everything, give thanks. I thank God this morning. This morning, whenever I get up, I can already talk. But I'm so thankful this morning that he was able to clear me up that I can come and present this, because this was so important to me and to him, more to him than me. But in everything, he says, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. You want to understand what the will of God is? I just read it to you. These are the things that God is very specific with. And he has summarized it there very plainly. We are in the army of God, my friends. And we've got chores we've got to do in the army of God. We are regimented. Yes, we're in this church. Yes, but we are here because God has placed us here in his army. Now, verse 19. Do not quench the Spirit. You know, one of the worst things that can happen is if, I'm going to use myself as an example. If someone came to me and said, brother, you know, I think we ought to do this. We ought to try this, and we ought to think about doing this. And the first thing I got to do is pray. I don't come out with, oh, no, I don't think we ought to do that. I don't think that goes along with what our philosophy is and our doctrine. Da, da, da. No, I can't quench the Spirit. If God is leading someone, I want to join them. I don't want to detour them. Don't quench the Spirit. And he says, and don't despise prophecy. Prophecy. Prophecy is sharing this. The prophecy that comes to you, instruction. He says, do not despise prophecy. And then he says, test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Those are pretty concise and pointed directions. Test all things. You know, I'm going to tell you how I test things. And you can have your own way, I guess, but test things is look in here. If I have this thought and it comes into my mind, I first of all got to discern in my mind that I'm prayed up. Number two, I've got to decide, is this Satan trying to penetrate me or is this God speaking? If it lines up with the Word of God, I can assure you it's God speaking. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then you need to test it and say, I don't think this works. I don't think this is where I need to be. He says, abstain from every form of evil. Now, that's the Lord's will. That's the Commander-in-Chief's will. That's the ultimate in all the universe speaking, not me. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, then have you made him the Commander-in-Chief? We have a guy that's heading up our country that calls himself the Commander-in-Chief. I'm not referring to him if he was ever thinking that this morning. I'm referring to the Lord Jesus Christ being the Commander-in-Chief. And he says there will be no AWLs, there will be no leaves. You're in his army, he wants us to be fighting. And I want to say this as I wrap it up. Our forefathers never went AWL. And I want to share this story with you if you're here this morning and you've never have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want to share this story with you about Billy Sunday. He was an evangelist. If you don't know Billy Sunday, he was one of the greatest evangelists and probably one of the most one used by God for quite some time. But he preached at a tent meeting. And it's told that one time after the meeting had ended, a young man who had been in the services and under a great conviction found Billy Sunday and said, oh, Mr. Sunday, I need to be saved. What can I do to be saved? Billy Sunday said, I'm sorry, you're too late. The young man said, oh, but I wanted to be saved and I should be saved. What must I do to be saved? And Billy Sunday said, you're too late to do anything to be saved, for Jesus Christ already done it all. It is finished. That's kind of the way it is this morning. I've heard a lot of people say, well, I gotta do something else before I can get saved. I gotta do something else. I can't be saved and have this on myself. No. When Jesus Christ went to that cross, He paid the price for all sin, for all people, for all time. All you gotta do is accept that. And if you will accept that and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to save your soul, my Bible says it shall be done. And a lot of people think that's too simple. Well, that can't save me. That's just too simple. My God doesn't make anything too tough for anybody to understand if they're willing. And that's the way it is this morning. And this morning, if you're here and you are a child of God, and I hope you are, but if you're not, and if you have not been serving 100% in the army of God, maybe you need to recommit. Not my words. I read them to you out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. Could we stand together and pray? Father, thank you for your words. Thank you for the words that you had written. And may you now, Lord, move in this congregation. Where they need to make commitments, let them make it. And we thank you for the message that come through you. Bless your holy name. In the name of Jesus, amen. Whether we're singing an invitation or whether we're not, you know, if God is speaking to your heart, I invite you to come to the altar now.